All right, we're just talking about how Anna went bowling yesterday. Check out our Instagram account. There's a fun, very fun video there. but that led to the fact that J.R. Jackson owns a bowling ball, which is probably the most American thing you could do.
Is bowling an American thing?
About originally, but
yeah,
it has to be.
It's totally like a Midwestern.
Yeah,
now it is, at least a Midwestern blue collar thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, no, we own bowling, man. We're number one.
Bowling is, I'm not a great bowler, okay? But bowling is A, something that I never think to do, but always ends up being so much fun. Because it's not just the bowling. First of all, it's, you know, gathering with some friends and fucking around, which is always a good time. But like, they always have beer and chicken, like chicken wings at bowling alleys. And that's, beer and chicken wings are so underrated. That is the perfect meal. It is the American totally meal agree. Of choice, I think.
I totally agree. There's, you know, Lucky Strike, that's a bowling alley in a bunch of cities. They actually have like the best nachos.
They do.
Yes.
They do.
And so I want to go, I want to go to Chuck E. Cheese just to get like the garlic pizza or whatever, right? I want to go to Lucky Strike just to have the nachos.
Yeah.
But you're right, bowling. The only downside to the beer and wings and nachos combo with bowling is like get your hands all greasy and then you bowl, or you bowl, you better go wash those hands really well after everybody like grabbed the bowl.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then you're gonna eat wings. Like, you can't eat anything worse after grabbing all that, and let alone the old bowling shoes you gotta put on.
Yeah.
Hey, but unless you have your own bowling ball and your own bowling shoes that you know you keep clean, then you have a little less chance of contaminating yourself with someone else's germs.
So, ladies and gentlemen, right there is an American. So, you own your own bowling shoes too?
Well, yeah, they're old now, but I had them before when I used to bowl regularly. Yeah.
What is regularly? Like once a week?
It was every week.
Wow.
Wow.
But again, bowling, you talked about Lucky Strike. Bowling has been hijacked, at least in this city, by like the popularity, right? We'd go every week and it was 25 cents a game.
Yes.
So you spend $5 for the whole night. But now you go and you pay $10 for 30 minutes or some bullshit like that.
It's
and you come out and you spend $60 to $70 to bowl. I'm like, what the fuck is this? This is supposed to be a base American thing to do that you don't need tons of money to do, but now you need tons of money to do it.
Well, if you live in the big cities,
Yeah.
So last night, Lucky Strike on Monday nights has this, like, basically if you work in the food service industry, you get to bowl for free, right? You show up, you get to bowl
really?
For free. Yes. Oh. So Christian and I, when we first started dating, that was our date every week. Like Monday night, we'd go bowling. And it was awesome because we get to go bowling for free. And what he would do is the guy who gives you the bowling shoes or whatever, or gets you the lane, he would just like give him a 20. And that guy loved us. Like, he would take care of us every single time. And it was a great deal because it was 20 bucks. We'd bowl all night and have a great time and eat, you know, eat and drink. That stuff was not free, the eating and drinking. But so that's how we started. And then, yes, you're right. Because if we ever want to go to any other bowling lane, even if it's not one of these fancy ones, Lucky Strike's fancy. It's a nice bowling bowling place. There's one that's like a lot older that we go to time. And yeah, it adds up. I'm like, Jesus, why are we spending this much money on bowling? Last night, we went specifically at 10:30 at night because they had unlimited bowling for one flat rate. And so it was like $14.99 per person. But we got to bowl as much as we wanted from 10:30 to 12:30.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm picturing you guys there at 3 a.m. We're not done yet. We gotta get our money's worth. Okay. No, you guys are all right. Bowling is underrated. I can't remember a time I went bowling and had a bad time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's always winds up being more fun than you thought. But I remember that JR has bowling ball because like a million years ago, we went TYT bowling. And JR,
I remember that.
JR like assaulted us. Like, I think that he was like significantly like a league above us, right? And weren't those the good old days when we used to go to IHOP and we used to go bowling? Now we want to go bowling, we're going to take 85 people with us.
Yeah, we're never going to go bowling as a company. Like, that's just not going to happen.
Right. So, anyways, now onto the stories that I was going to tell. I've told this one before, probably even recently, but I keep wanting to say it during the climate change stories, and I know nobody's gonna understand it, so I'm just like, I gotta get it out. So you remember the story, me and Dave Kohler are going through West Virginia or Kentucky looking for a holler.
Yes.
Right, and it's just not poor enough for Dave, and he's like, no, this ain't a holler, this ain't a holler. And then we find a guy in overalls, and I think no shirt, okay. And
not poor enough for Dave.
Yeah, yeah, no. I mean, he was, oh my God, okay. He was so serious, but I forget if he was missing teeth, but he might have been, anyway. And Dave pulls over, rolls down his window, and he's like, so we were looking for a holler, okay? And the guy looks at him and goes, son, you're in a holler, okay? So every time we do the climate change stories, I wanna say, son, you're in climate change,
yeah,
right? Whether it's the hurricanes or the fires, we're in it. It's not a thing that we're gonna find later,
yeah,
okay? We're right dab in the middle of it, okay. Now onto my ski getaways. So when I was a kid, we used to go skiing. Now, were we fancy pants? No, but were we middle class? Yes, and so I tell you guys all the time, like I had a great childhood, etc. So my parents had a timeshare, but it was in the Poconos, which is a very like northeastern thing, right? And so we would go to this tiny little slope called Masthope, and we all learned to ski there. And we'd go and we'd do Jimmy Superfly Snuka on the beds and et cetera. And then when we got a little older, Khan's dad, my best friend who lived across the street, his wife had passed away, so it was just him. So he would take us kids to go skiing in Vermont, and we'd go drive together. Oh, he's such a great guy. Oh my God. But he like as good a guy as you'll ever find on the planet, Khan's dad. Okay, so, and we were, you can tell we were okay because we could drive to Vermont and afford to get ski tickets, and we would, but we weren't rich because one, we would go and all stay in the same room. Okay, Khan's dad and like six kids.
Whoa.
Okay, on the floors, on the couches, etc. And we thought the lunches at the ski lodge were too expensive, okay? And there's like three people on the planet cheaper than Khan's dad, okay? But only three. And that was part of his charm. So we'd bring cold chicken nuggets with us from New Jersey all the way to Vermont, okay, like frozen chicken nuggets. And then we'd unfreeze them at night and heat them up during the morning and then eat those chicken nuggets for lunch.
Oh my God, yeah.
Okay, and we had oranges.
Yeah.
And then we'd make up songs like, I taught the kids this the other day, California oranges, one person would say, and then everybody else would go, California oranges, Texas cactus, Texas cactus. We go skiing just for the practice, just for the practice. I don't know.
Did you guys make that up?
I think so.
Nice.
If they probably got it from somewhere at some point, or at least the first part. Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
We were the original rappers. We were OGs. So,
just quick note on freestyling. This is a little bit of a tangent, but I think it's funny. So there was a story today about how Eminem did a rap or something about an anti-Trump rap, calling him racist and all that. Anyway, it was just funny because all of the media kept referring to it as a freestyle. But like, I don't think it was a freestyle. I think it was like something that he wrote and memorized and performed, right? That's not a freestyle. And like JR and I were talking about it and laughing, and I don't think the media even really knows what a freestyle is. Like they probably think like freestyle, like he's practicing his First Amendment rights. He's practicing free speech, so that's freestyle. You know, like I don't know, but it's just, it just cracks me up anyway.
Yeah, yeah, you're right about that. Anyway, I guess I'm telling this story partly because it came up in the show, but partly because those days are great, man.
Yeah.
You know, even if you wind up having money later down the road, it's better to have eaten frozen chicken nuggets and oranges and all stayed in the same room. And then when Khan farted in the middle of the night and his dad said, who's doing that? And we all laughed and laughed and laughed. Those are the best of times.
Yeah, I mean, I have such fond memories of like 2007 through, I don't know, 2011 with TYT when like we were really struggling, I feel like. And we were tiny, tiny, tiny. We barely had any employees. And yeah, like there were so many moments. I remember this so vividly. I remember asking you one day before we went on air. This is like early on at TYT. I was like, do you ever like stay up at night fearful that you might not make it? Like you might not succeed? And you're like, yeah, definitely. And I felt like relief that you also felt that, you know, because you're such a confident person. And sometimes I would stress out. I'm like, well, what if we don't make it? Like, what if not only me personally, but as a company, like what if this career doesn't go anywhere? Like it's just this fear. But even with those fears, there was something about those times that I really miss, because this is cheesy, but there is a lot of good that comes out of the journey. You know, it's not all about getting there. And yeah, I feel like you don't really truly appreciate your success or, you know, money or material things unless you know what it's like to not have those things.
Yeah, no. I'm luckiest guy alive, man. Mm-hmm. I had just enough opportunity. Like, so if I keep thinking about this girl in a refugee camp in southeastern Turkey that I read about, because the dentist from Detroit goes and takes care of their teeth because there's no dentist there. And actually, this one of the cities they live in, my grandfather used to be a dentist. Mm-hmm. He was the only dentist in that same city. Mm-hmm. Anyway, dentist goes there because, and she had gotten her teeth knocked out by a border guard who was telling her to get back and hit her with the butt of a rifle. She has almost no opportunity. She is, every time I think about that, I think, man, there's so many people trapped in inescapable situations all throughout the world, billions of them, billions. I'm so lucky that I grew up in middle class in America and had all this opportunity, but also lucky that I didn't grow up rich and get spoiled and not know the value of money and not know the value of frozen chicken nuggets and friends, instead of growing up like Lindsay Lohan in a cloud of, you know, of delusion and in weirdness. Do you see what I'm saying?
And to feel like you don't have anything to work toward. Like, you know, I think the reason why I am the way I am is because I remember being a kid and realizing, oh shit, we're like, my family's very different from other families. Like, we don't have the things other families do. You know, seeing a two-story house for the first time, like, you know, my mom loved to go to open houses. And one time she took me, I was with my mom and my aunt, and it was the first time I saw a two-story house. It was blue. And I'm like, this is a mansion. Like, I thought it was a mansion just because it had stairs, you know?
Yeah, me too. When I was eight, when I first came to America, but it was actually our house, because we lived in a small apartment my whole life. And then they're like, this is our house. I'm like, this can't be true, because this house is gigantic. This is the largest house in the world.
It's a
normal house in the suburbs, right?
And I just remember that day, that very day, after realizing that we were different, I wanted more. Like, I realized there was something that I wanted to work toward. And I think that's what drove me, motivated me, whatever. And I'm glad that I experienced that. Like, what happens if you're like living in the lap of luxury from the moment that you're born? Like, what do you work toward, right? I mean, sure, you're gonna wanna work toward bettering the lives of others and you're bettering the country, whatever it is, right? But when you're a kid, you don't think that way. I think what drives you when you're a kid is, I want a better life than what I have now. And that's not saying that, you know, my parents didn't provide for me, but they were immigrants. They were struggling in the beginning. And I wanted to know what it was like to not struggle, to not have to fight with my spouse about, okay, what do we spend this on and what do we spend that on? Like, I hated seeing that.
So when success comes, is it inevitable that because how badly we want to do something different, that we forget to, if you take your kids on a ski trip, I went skiing first when I was 24 years old, snowboarding, 25, something like that, and with friends. So like, then, of course, you want your kid to do something differently, but are we gonna forget, if you take a kid on a ski trip, if you're Megyn Kelly and you make 23 mil a year, would you get the 2-bedroom cabin or would you get the mansion cabin? Because you can afford it, now your kid doesn't know what it's like to sleep in one room and have to make up songs and stuff, and they all have their own phones that they can tweet and Instagram on all day. You may want to do it because it's comfortable and fun. It's still fun, but it's a different kind. And we may forget that there's some value and learning something from having to do it differently. Because I'm telling you, my kid is not living the way I lived.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm by far not rich. None of us are. So, but it's easy to for my kids to have more than what I had because I didn't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
So in thinking, man, this kid has his own room. As simple as having his own room. And I live in an apartment.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. it's someone's having his own room. And like, man, this kid is so spoiled.
Yeah.
You sound like you're an episode of Blackish.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but two things off of that. But you know, like, if you have the money, though, I feel like it's incumbent upon you. We've talked about this before. It's incumbent upon you to enjoy the hell out of it for all the people who don't have it. Like,
yeah.
don't waste it. Don't. Like, if you have money and you're unhappy, you're being a dick to the rest of us. Do you see what I'm saying?
I know, but like.
I know it doesn't work that way.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. But money doesn't buy you happiness.
I know. But yeah. I feel like you, like, there's almost a special responsibility. So if I had Megyn Kelly money, I'd probably stay in the mansion, mm-hmm. but I would soak it in.
And then are you hurting your kids? Your kids not learning the frozen chicken nuggets
more? But I think there's a good balance. The balance is you should enjoy your money. You worked hard, mm-hmm. you know, you earned it, but make your kids think that they're poor. So don't give them their own room. You know, maybe have a tent in the backyard for them.
Yeah. But this is something, right?
But it's no, but that's
right?
actually somewhat true. So when my parents come over, we give Joy's room to them so that Joy's got to sleep with Pro. And she has this cute little tent, like this pink tent that she loves.
Mm-hmm.
And we put it in Pro's room and throw some, you know, blankets on there. And so, you know what? She loves it. Mm-hmm. She doesn't need a big fancy room.
Mm-hmm.
That little tent, she's like, oh, it's such an adventure, right? And she runs in there. And so, yeah, there's a way to strike that balance. And I'm maniacal as a dad. I teach them everything from the get-go.
Yeah.
Like, that appreciate other people, respect money, right? Because I don't want them being spoiled at all, and I understand the value of money and how you have to earn it, and etc. I also teach them capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so a shop closed across the street,
mm-hmm.
Kind of across the street, around the corner. Anyway, and we were going by, and they're like, "Baba, why'd that close down?" And I explained how I was like, "Look, if you are, remember, they're selling ice cream. If they charge $10, but it cost them $11 to make ice cream, what do you think happens?" And we did the math and yada yada. And I'm like, Pro, what do you think, you know, the ice cream needs to cost you to make $10, you know, if you're only making $10? And I thought he was gonna say like $9. He's like, $1, so we can make more.
Smart.
I'm like, there you go, that's a capitalist. Anyway, trying to teach him math, but also how the world works a little bit.
Yeah. Smart.
All right, I'll end on an inappropriate story.
Okay.
So we go skiing on one of these trips, and we always, no, by the end, we had finally bought our skis because the rental was killing us. Mm-hmm. The rental prices were killing us. So we were like JR with the skis and the boots and the, with your own bowling ball and shoes. Anyway, but we used to rent all the time, and one time I go, and I was a wild skier. I wasn't bad. I wasn't as good as Dave Kohler, but I hung in there, okay? And so I was on a hard slope. I took the wrong turn. Boom, I fell in a creek, okay? Mm. Like, fell off the trail onto a creek.
Jeez.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
And broke the ski.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And so now ski's broken. I somehow managed to get to the bottom. It's the end of the day, so it wasn't that bad. But anyway, I'm okay. I twist my ankle a little bit, but it's fine. And we're gonna return the ski, and I'm like, I asked Khan's dad, who's the adult there, and I'm like, well, you know, we got this situation with the rental, what should we do? He's like, oh, good point. Here's what we do, okay? And he put the rental back into where we got it. He's like, okay, now walk out really quickly. Go. I'm like, Uncle Orhan, I'm pretty sure we're not supposed to do that.
That is too
funny. He's like, yeah, go, come on. He's like, they'll be fine. They have many, many skis. So it's wrong. We shouldn't have done that. I was a kid, okay. But he meant well.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we couldn't go skiing if it cost too much.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's not right. That's why I told you it was an inappropriate story. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we have grown up together, man. I remember the first time you went snowboarding.
Almost died.
no interest in snow
it's
sports.
It's fun. I got really good at it, though. Once you realize you might die, but then you get beyond it, it's empowering.
Yeah. We have spent a lifetime together.
Mm-hmm, I know.
Wow. All right, guys. Much love. We'll see you tomorrow.